poetry. We've all written poems.
Sure.
And we got a letter in the mail, snail mail, saying April is National Poetry Month, a big deal when you make your living as a poet. So we have a real honest-to-goodness poet in the studio with us right now, Bill Baczynski. Hi, Bill.
Thank you so much for having me. A pleasure to be
here. Did you choose snail mail because it rhymes? Is that why?
Absolutely.
Is that your choice? Good
Absolutely.
Move.
In honor of April being National Poetry Month, Bill, I have written you a little poem, if I may.
I would love it.
There once was a man named Baczynski who really enjoyed a cheese blintz. See?
Oh, that's a good start.
That's great.
That's all I have, though.
That's great.
You're not
very
leaving,
zen.
Right, Bill? You're going
like
to stay.
Zen Cohen. It's beautiful.
I always liked writing poems, though. And you think of younger kids, they go through poetry in elementary school and stuff. It's fun to write a poem.
The wordplay is kind of the thing that I stress. You know, it's crazy. You know, it's been associated with sophistication and kind of, you know, is esoteric to a lot of people. But I kind of celebrate the Walt Whitman-esque democratic vision of poetry for the every person.
Don't you think as a kid when you're subjected to like Dr. Seuss or Shel Silverstein or somebody like that, it really does set a nice tone for the rest of your life to be interested in that sort of writing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a good point. That's what we're first introduced to. Yeah. No wonder we like to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I try to tie some strings from Uncle Shel and Dr. Seuss to the, you know, the more established and classic poets. But Dr. Seuss is where we cut our teeth. You know,
yeah.
Dr. Seuss, no mother goose, put a hat on a cat and let it loose. Mm-hmm. Ears on Horton. Horton heard a who. Caused a whole bunch of trouble in Salus Salou.
Do you only go iambic pentameter or do you stray every once in a while?
I stray a little bit. Being from New York, actually, I stray a lot, you know.
Because it upsets people when you hear poetry, you go, well, it must rhyme. Poetry has to rhyme, but not really.
Absolutely not. And that's why I liked your piece. Very, very catching, you know.
Well, Baczynski, it's hard to find stuff to rhyme with.
It's hard. You got
to
go back to the old Polish.
When you tell mom and dad that this is going to be your lot in life to be a poet, their reaction is what?
Well, my dad was a New York City cop, and his first response was, no money in that.
With the hands?
No money in that. The truth is I've made a good living for 20 years selling myself as a teacher, a poet, and a performer. I mean, this is not your grandmother's poetry.
Yeah.
As sweet as your grandma was. And, you know,
mine wasn't
Matilda
that sweet.
She was for you. But it's, you know, it's kind of poetry for the average person. I'm very interested in, like, turning them on.
Yeah.
Whatever is going to turn them on. If in the sports, you know, you evoke a sports metaphor. You're a hard-hit drive up the middle down the line. You know, 1,000-watt bulb burning all the time.
Mm.
You know, lighting up the scoreboard with a head first slide. Hard hit drive up the middle down the line. That was for the Cubs right there.
That's see, but that just, it, when you're hearing that, you can't help but react to it because it's got such a nice smooth flow to it all.
Right. And the fact that I don't read it, you know, I work in the bardic tradition where, yeah. you know, I'm a bit of a performer. Although everything I learned about performing was in the classroom, actually, as a teacher.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't really take any acting classes, but I'm good. You should see my shtick.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Do you have a YouTube channel or something?
You know, I've got a lot on YouTube, actually. I got this little thing called Poetic Chicago, which is a kind of a feature of all the places that are poetic in Chicago. You know, places like the Trapeze School. You know, so a poetic.
I don't know
Chicago.
About the Trapeze School.
Yeah, nobody knows. It's right on the lakefront. And so I did this little piece. If you go to my website, poeticclassroom.com, you can see a piece called Poetic Chicago. It's about, you know, a 10-minute little blip. And again, you know, celebrating the poetry of people like to swing on a trapeze on the lakeshore.
Do you have to train your mind, Bill, to see things in a poetic light, or does it just come naturally? How does somebody.
Well,
get
you know, I
that.
Cut my teeth on the singer-songwriters of the 70s, Dylan, Tom Waits. And so in one way, yes, because, you know, I've been imbibing it for a while. But I think anything good, meaningful, powerful is going to be cultivated.
Right.
So, you know, I cultivate it. I read all the, you know, the classics and try to get inspired so that I can inspire.
That's so cool. And my 16-year-old son is a musician, and he's mainly covering Bob Dylan and Donovan and all these older classic rock tunes. And he's written 3 songs, and when he played the songs, I was blown away.
It blows you away, right?
I mean, really, yeah. it's really a beautiful thing, and that's where poetry kind of happened, you know, aside from the Walt Whitman and the Carl Sandburg, the musicians.
No, without a doubt. In fact, you know, my mantra is we may not all be poets, but everybody has poetry. So again, if it's an athlete, I try to stress the playfulness within that language, and the musicians are, you know, our modern poets.
Isn't that the funniest thing, though? Because if you ask a person if they like poetry, and they're like, okay. Do you like music? I love music. Yeah. Then you kind of like poetry, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baudelaire, a French poet, said, a man can live for 2 days without bread and water, but not a day without poetry.
Oh, wow.
And I think there's some truth to that, you know. And again, you know, I say we may not all be poets, but everybody has poetry. And I kind of, you know, stress the fact that it's really a power. It's not just fancy words on a page. And it's to cultivate that power, to read it and to write it, is to see the world imaginatively, I think, and to express yourself uniquely,
right,
which is what your son's doing, Wendy.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he's a bright kid, so it didn't surprise me that he would get into songwriting. But I don't know, I'm kind of critical sometimes. And it's like when I heard it performed, it's like, you really wrote that? It's amazing. We have Bill Baczynski in the studio, poet, performer, and teacher. And we're celebrating April because it's National Poetry Month. Now, you do shows. You definitely have your website, poeticclassroom.com. Where can we see you perform?
You know, National Poetry Month, the spring is my busiest time. I'm out every day and night.
Doing what? I'm sorry, I didn't even know it was National Poetry Month.
Yeah, well, you know, I do a good business among the schools. So I do assemblies, a lot of writing workshops, but I perform in bars. I do a lot at churches. One of my degrees is actually from a seminary, although I have my English degree and a business degree, if you can imagine all three of those, you know, coming together to
what couldn't decide what you wanted to be.
I'm a little slow. That's why I send the snail mail.
When you say you do it in bars, I've not experienced this firsthand, but I know such a thing exists where they do beat poetry, where people go up and they read poems and people just kind of move their, they snap their fingers and stuff. Is that a common thing now? Is that big and popular still?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I'm really trying to avoid that cliche.
Oh,
and if a beatnik shows up, you know, I'm going to snap my fingers. But
yeah, because mostly in some of the poetry slams and stuff, are they still snapping?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I have a band, you know, I carry a band with me. I got some good musicians that do my, you know, do some stuff. So
that's,
we got shtick, you know.
Good.
In fact, I got a radio program, again, online, you know, Radio Poetry.
Yeah.
Broadcast live from the basement of the Turtleneck Cafe. Just take the whoop-de-doo highway to the Jack Kerouac exit, hang a left on Beatnik Boulevard, and you're there.
You should stick around, because coming up later today, we're going to talk to Michael Brewer of Brewer and Shipley, of course, One Toke Over the Line, a song that came out in the 60s, and we know a lot of the words to that song. Today is 420, so you guys might click. Although he's on the phone, I don't know if we can hook you guys up.
That's the problem.
That's a problem.
Let's talk more. It's National Poetry Month, and Bill Baczynski is here. You want to go to poeticclassroom.com for more information. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Little Bobby Dylan, Robert Zimmerman, he was quite the poet, I will say that.
Well, here's the thing. Bill Baczynski is here. It is National Poetry Month, and he is an actual live working poet, doing fine in that career. There are certain people, Bob Dylan is one of them, who are not poets per se, but just their delivery and their word choice. George Carlin was a poet, don't you think? Richard Pryor was a poet. Guys who do, our friend is Doc Emmerich, who does Blackhawk games on NBC. And just the way he describes things is poetic to me. You can be any of those things and be a poet, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think you guys could do this gig if you didn't have you know, a poetic spirit and some poetry flowing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Poetry in motion, as Thomas Dolby once said.
He was right. Thomas Dolby knew.
All right, we were talking to Bill Baczynski off the air, and Bill, you're just a listener who sent us a letter who said, you know what, April is National Poetry Month, and I want to come in and share poetry and the love of poetry. And so you've been a teacher, and you have had some training in seminary school. Another poet, Jim Morrison, when I was back in seminary school, I petitioned the Lord.
That counts.
I just did some poetry.
Yep.
And it's all kind of coming together. You perform, and if you'd like to find your schedule, it's all up at poeticclassroom.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you do bars, restaurants. You're doing a gig at a country club of one of the a student that you had a long while ago.
Right.
Tell us about that, because this is beautiful.
Well, you know, I do a lot of business on the North Shore, where they do appreciate, you know, their poetry. And this little girl had some, you know, some issues and has just succeeded beyond everybody's wildest dreams. And I was fortunate enough just to give her a little vision as a little, you know, as a little
in first
kid.
Grade.
Yeah, in first grade.
You so know? Now she's graduating from college, and her parents want you to come speak at this little get together.
Yeah,
look at that. You
although
made a
as
difference.
A teacher, you always get those old timers coming.
Oh,
back,
sure.
You know? So I got a lot of those little, you know, neophytes, and
that's
got
to make you feel really good, though, right? After just watching them blossom that way, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're doing some work at a hospital regularly, a weekly thing.
And have for a couple of years now, Wendy, actually. Poetry, you know, it's therapeutic power in the hospital setting. All these kids have lost somebody in their family has died, sometimes very tragically. I mean, murders. This is down in Evergreen Park, and usually about 7-8 sessions in the spring and the fall. Sometimes the poems they create are elegies, a tribute to the loved one. Sometimes it's an emotional sort of wrestling with the problems. It's always some sort of ministry. A poem I like to give in that context, and you know, if any of the listeners are struggling, I'm a big believer in the efficacy of poetry to heal as well as just writing it. But there's a story of this old Zen poet, Roykin, who came home one night and discovered a thief broke into his house, sat down in the middle of the rubble, and wrote this poem. He said, "The thief left it behind, the moon in my window. The thief left it behind, the moon in my window." You know, and just a short turn of the phrase, you know.
Yeah.
A balm, some medicine. And I think poetry is a vitamin, essential to the nutrition. Make sure you take one every day and do not ever miss one. A poem is a vitamin. Without a word of verse, you're sure to get run down and soon to need the nurse. A poem, it's a vitamin. Just pop them in your mouth. Open wide. Now say, ah, you'll be the picture of perfect health.
Do you have a big old loose leaf binder somewhere with all these poems, or is it all up in your brain?
You know, John Milton wrote in his head. He was blind later, and he had an amanuensis that would write down the stuff. And I don't even think it's going to be a good poem until I've got a good bit of it in my head.
Really?
I'm one of those hyperactive kids, you know. I didn't really perform well in school. I was a C, B-minus student all the way into college.
But no dummy.
No, no.
Just grade-wise, right. It didn't translate.
Right, and
you.
But when I'm ready to write, I want to move. I'm walking, I'm hiking, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my jabs, there's kind of this, I jab at the media a good bit, you know, and I got this faux radio station called Radio Poetry, and I try to let kids know that, you know, poetry is coming through the airwaves in lots of ways, the commercials. So I've got these faux commercials that I sort of send out. One of my sponsors of my radio show is Muss It Up. It's a way of messing up. Without giving up your style. Friends, don't moose it up. Just loosen up with Muss It Up. Get rid of the spray. Get rid of the gel. Tell your hairdresser. Go straight to mussitup.com.
You are a hep cat. Can I tell you that? You really are. And his name is Bill Buzinski. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You're doing a lot of good with your poetry, and you're growing within yourself as well. You can go to poeticclassroom.com and find out any of Bill's performances. There's some YouTube videos there as well. I understand you wrote a poem about us.
Well, I have one for each of you.
Oh, you did.
That would be appropriate.
That's so nice.
This is one.
Does mine contain swearing? Because am the person that Bill has met that swears more than anyone he's ever met in his life.
Well, had I known that, I would have peppered this with some off-color.
The word Nantucket humor. Would have to
But
come
all
up
I remembered
at some
was
point.
Seeing you through the window there and those eyes. So I wrote this poem called Wendy. It goes like this. Who would you shine if you were a sun, and what kind of tune would you croon? If you were a moon who could croon a tune and fill a midnight party with fun. And if you on a star could fly a balloon across Chicago's sky, sunshine, I say, we'll have a new day with the sparkle in Wendy's eyes.
That's beautiful.
Really good.
Sorry,
that's
can't
really
see
good.
Eyes here, friends.
Thank you. Now, Bill's
well,
poem?
Bill, my namesake, you know, strong and determined, William. This is a poem for Bill. It goes like this. His flimsies and his whimsies wrote a song together, and they sang it to the muse. And in a tick-tock, he went click-clock, and time took him back to the sock hop, where his jazz was fine, and the rhythm in his poetry will blow your mind. And yes, friends, he has held time in a bottle. He's seen the cat in the cradle, a silver spoon. His papa was a rolling stone, but it doesn't mean he was born to lose. His jazz is fine, and the rhythm in his poetry is going to blow your mind.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Bill,
and
this
you
is
really
what you did.
Captured
nice job.
Us. Well, Bill, anyway, I'm not so sunny.
Come on. That's wonderful stuff. Well, thank you. Thank pleasure. You so much.
It's a pleasure to meet you, and really keep poetry alive, because, Bill, you hit the nail on the head when you say, oh, are you into poetry, to people? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Well, do you like music? And there is poetry in everything, so thank you for sharing that
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for having me. A real pleasure.
Bill Baczynski, and Baczynski's kind of tough to spell, so just go to poeticclassroom.com. You sure you can't come up with another couple of lines? There once was a man named Baczynski who really enjoyed a cheese blintz, see? Say.
It gets tough after that, Bill. You got to admit.
No, I had to raise my game for
it,
that.
It gets
one.
Tough after that. Thank
Thanks
you,
so
Bill.
Much.
A pleasure, guys.
News is next, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.